He is the chief executive of the Australian Hotels Association, WA. You've seen the front page of the West Australian. Perth is very expensive to live in. We all know that. Goods and services cost a lot more than they cost in Sydney, it would seem, and definitely New York and Tokyo, which surprised me. Hospitality comes under a lot of flack, and it is in that area that we have Bradley on to discuss this issue. Hi, Bradley.
G'day, Peter. How are you?
Excellent. Thanks for your time. I guess it would be a bit of a bugbear for yourself, the amount of criticism that hospitality operators and venues in Perth get for the what many see as an excessive cost of goods.
I think, Peter, it's fair to say that hospitality operators, whether they be restaurateurs, bar operators or pub and tavern operators, are just as frustrated with that tag as what the consumers would be who are paying the prices. Mm. We try our best as an industry to keep value for money and to keep prices down. But as you can see from the story in today's paper, the reference to chicken breasts, apples, beer, oranges, the cost of produce continues to rise, and it's more expensive in Perth than it is in other cities. And these are all part of the factors that add to this cost, and that forces up the prices right across the board, whether it's the basket of goods in the shopping trolley or mm-hmm. whether it's the counter meal at the pub or the cocktail in the small bar. All of these factors push up the cost. WA is not as big as some of the states over east, and certainly Perth is not as big as Melbourne and Sydney. And there's economies of scale that come with that. The isolation and the distance adds up. But I think also too, Peter, what's really important to recognise is that the state government, the West Australian state government, there's not much they can do. They can't pass a law saying to keep prices down. Mm. But if there's one thing they can do, it's to start eliminating and reducing the amount of red tape and over-regulation on WA businesses, and to make a serious effort to move in that direction, because it's been talked about for too long over the last 3 to 4 or 5 years. We need to see some substantial moves now to reduce that red tape so that we can pass those savings back onto consumers.
Would you consider that, financially speaking, that red tape and regulations that you speak of, would you use the term onerous?
Extremely onerous. It adds up substantially, because if it's not the proprietor having to do the administrative work for it, it's very easily the staff that are working for that business as well. We've surveyed our members over a reasonable period of time to get a good picture of this, and the average hospitality business proprietor is spending 2 out of the 6 days a week that they're working on dealing with bureaucracy and red tape and administrative costs that are being brought about by government. And if they're not doing themselves, they're having to hire people to do the work for them or to pass it on to other staff, when they would much rather be working in the business and growing their business and making a profit out of it. And if government can do anything, if there's one thing the state government can do, it's to put its money where its mouth is and really put some effort into reducing red tape and bureaucracy in Western Australia on medium and small businesses.
Bradley, you mentioned isolation, which of course brings with it its own cost pressures. What are some of the other unique cost pressures currently felt by, we're talking hospitality today, but I'm sure it's across many different industries, unique to WA, some of those expenses?
Well, one of the things that's happened in the last 4 or 5 years, Peter, is that we've seen a massive growth in the mining and the resources sector, and despite the fact there's been a bit of a weaning off of that over the last 12 months, there's still a lot of activity there, but it's put pressure on our businesses, particularly with staff that have gone to work in the mining companies and chefs. And when the big mining companies and their catering operations are offering 2 to 3 times the salary of what normal businesses can pay, it puts pressure on the wages market, and we've seen some massive increases in cost as a result of that. That, of course, gets passed on, particularly where a restaurant is doing original food and they need someone who has a chef's qualification, not just simply someone who's going to reheat frozen food, but someone who's going to actually cook raw produce and deliver a good quality product. We need someone that's qualified, and those people are limited in availability, and the cost of mining and the wages paid has pushed up the price of staff in that area, which is very different to what's happened in the eastern states, because they don't have the same geographic, labour cost, economic pressure, all in the same space. And I suppose it's just one example, but even to the point of food and beverage staff that are being offered jobs in wet messes and catering operations up in the northwest, they might do it for 12 months or 2 years as a bit of a short term. They get burnt out and come back in the sector, but in the short term, it pushes up wage costs and it makes it hard to recruit people. And even the cost of recruiting staff and high turnover adds more and more to a business's cost as well. And at the end of the day, when businesses are paying more, the consumer's paying more because it gets passed on.
Bradley, you mentioned the East Coast, and let's just talk about, okay, so a beer here in Western Australia costs quite a bit more, a little bit more than what it would in the East Coast.
Yep.
Can I ask you, do the Perth operators, are they making more actual profit?
No, unfortunately, it'd be great to look at it simplistically and say, yep, we're making more profit. But unfortunately, there's a big factor in all of this, and that is that if you look at, say, particularly around New South Wales and Queensland, the average pubs and clubs over there might be charging, say, 50 cents less for a midi or sometimes even a dollar less. But these venues have got one big distinct difference, and they've got a lot of gaming machine operations and revenues coming through from poker machines. Now, we don't have them in Western Australia. We're not getting them in Western Australia. We don't believe there's any likelihood of them happening in Western Australia. But what it does mean is we don't have the ability to subsidise food and beverage costs with gaming machine returns and profits.
Bradley, what about, sorry, if I just got to keep moving on, a couple more things I wanted to ask you just quickly. What about local WA landlords as far as hospitality is concerned? Are they being realistic, do you think?
We've seen a real purging of the industry in the last number of years in the sense that some landlords have become a bit greedy. They've become a bit too unreasonable in what they've expected out of the tenants and the operators of restaurants, bars and hotels. And whether it's just this mentality of the mining boom state that you know is a bit of a myth, or whether it's based on something else, it has unfortunately resulted in a real sharp increase in our members saying to us that they're being squeezed at both ends by not only the landlords but the cost of business. And I think there needs to be a reality check by the property market around what their expectations are out of hospitality businesses. You've only got to look at areas like Subiaco to see the way food and beverage has been squeezed out of those small stores there.
Final question, Bradley. Just wanted to say, do you think that there are some operators out there who are being a little bit cheeky?
And if they are, Peter, and no doubt there could be in any market, you're going to get that. The customer has to vote with his feet. And I think what we've got to do as consumers, and you and I are them as well, we've got to expect good value for money. If we want to go out and spend $50 on a meal or $100 on a meal, it's a question of perspective. But if we spend $100, we want $100 worth of service and product. If we spend $50, we get $50 worth, not $20 worth. And if the venue's not delivering the expectation, we've got to tell them. We've got to let them know they're in the moment, not save it up for a Urban Spoon review 12 months later, but let the venue know, because we want to deliver good quality and reasonable cost, and it's about value for money and good service.
Thanks for your time, Bradley.
You're welcome, Peter. Have a great day.
You too. Bradley Woods, Chief Executive of the Australian Hotels Association WA. Some new breaking news. Alexis Donkin from Channel 7 joins us. Apparently Alexis is in the chopper right now. Hi Alexis, what can you tell us?
Well, there's been a dramatic air and sea search taking place in the last hour or so after an e-turb was